Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Today we're going to be talking about prayer. So we're going through Ephesians, which is really the book where Paul says, I want to lay out for you what it means to be a Christian, to live the Christian life, and especially what it means for you in community as a church. And so the book of Ephesians, many people say it's the finest of all of Paul's writings. It's up there with Romans. Romans talks about individually, what does it mean to be a Christian? What's the reality of it? Because it's more than just a social club or a group that we join. And the same with the church. What does it mean to be a part of the church? And we as a church in 2025, we're just feeling like God is resetting us and making sure we're built on a solid foundation. And so we're going through this series on Ephesians to say, are we doing church the way that God intended, that was laid out? Because we want to just align with that. And then following that in the summer or probably in the fall, we'll do a series just on the basic theology or doctrines or the things that we believe that make us Christians. And so I encourage you to come out that. Make sure that our faith is founded and our church is built on a solid foundation. So here we are, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. We went through the first half of this chapter, which was really just a song of worship. We talked about how worship is really where the Christian life begins and ends, because every time that we see, if we really know God, our normal response is going to be worship. And the Bible teaches us that worship actually helps us to know God. And then he follows this song of praise with a prayer. So here, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23, and we'll just read this through together. In fact, why don't we all stand? We'll read this together. Can you all see that?
Yeah.
All right. Ready, begin. Ever since I heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Amen. All right, you can have a seat. So here's Paul's prayer. Today we're going to break this down. Paul's prayer. What he was praying for the Ephesian church. Because that's our heart for this church. And so this just reveals what God's heart is for the church, for us. And it teaches us how to pray for each other. And so this message is really for those who are believers, those who are part of the church. But for those of you who are not yet a part of the church or don't yet fully trust Christ, it's a great way to understand, to get a little bit of a glimpse, an inside glimpse of, okay, so what does it really mean to be a Christian? And so verse 15, Paul says, this is saying, why did Paul pray? He says, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And so Paul is saying, here's why I'm praying. Because I've heard some things about you, and it stirred up prayer in me. And I love this reputation that the church of Ephesus had. And my prayer, my hope, my desire is that we as a church would have the same kind of reputation. And it's not a reputation that, you know, we meet in a great space or, you know, have great worship or, you know, are a cool group of people. My prayer is that we would be a people who, number one, have a faith in the Lord Jesus that others talk about. A trust in Jesus as Lord in our lives. That the way that we live outside of the church demonstrates that we make Jesus Lord of our lives and that we trust him in that. And so it begins, we are the church. You are the church. And each of us individually making a choice to say, I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. And in everything that I do, I want to do it in a way that reflects Jesus as Lord of my life and my trust in him. That I trust what he said. That I'm not worried about every little thing that happens in my life because I trust Jesus as Lord of my life. And I'm willing to follow, because being Lord of my life means that I follow and walk in obedience to his desires and his heart. He's not just some religious icon that I know exists and I believe in, but he's a Lord that I trust. My prayer is that would be our reputation. That they say, that person, they're like serious about following Jesus. Like it actually affects the way that they live and the choices that they make. They make choices that are aligned with Jesus being Lord in their lives. And like they have this complete confidence in Jesus. In everything they do, they just have this confidence that Jesus is going to come through for them. My prayer is that would be what marks us as a church. And then horizontally, it says a love for all the saints. They just love people. We as a church, that we would love each other. But I love this. It also says for all the saints. My prayer is that as a church, you would never hear a negative word about another church coming from this church. But what you hear is you would love for all the saints. Not just the ones we agree with. Love for even the ones we disagree with. Because if we only love those who we agree with, we're just like everybody else. And Jesus, let me tell you, his love is not like everybody else's love. And if we don't love different, then there's nothing that sets us apart. And I can tell you right now, I fall way short of that. I fall short in so many areas. Not just in being a Christian, you know, being a pastor, being a Christian, sometimes just fall short of being a good guy, you know, and having a love for everybody. And so I begin with praying for myself, God help me. And God make that our reputation as a church, that we would love everyone, all the saints. And that would be reflected in our lives. And I can tell you, I don't yet live that way. I got lots of complaints. My wife would be the one who hears them all. You know? But I'm praying, we're praying that God will take those, you know, we wrestle with that. You know, we challenge each other on that and just saying, you know, yes, that just cannot be the way that we talk about people. Because this is the way we want to talk about people. We want to talk about them with love. And it doesn't mean that everybody's perfect and that we don't see the faults. It's just that do we view people's faults through the lens of love? Because all of us have faults and all of us need help. And if we don't get help here, where are we going to get help? But it's help that comes from love. It's that we, even when we have to confront one another, we do it in love. And it's always mixed with encouragement because why? We trust Jesus as Lord, that he can help them. and then we don't feel like we have to be Jesus in everybody's life. We trust the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit can lead them, and we don't have to be the Holy Spirit in everyone's life. But we can be love, we can love, and we can encourage. So Paul says, this is what I heard about you guys. You have this trust in Jesus as Lord and this love for all the saints. And then it goes on, and then we'll look at how Paul prayed. So what is this? What kind of prayer does this lead to? Verse 16. It says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And so I love that his prayer is a prayer of thanksgiving. Because there's such a power in gratitude that I think we rarely even scratch the surface of the power of being grateful. Because we're so used to complaining and focusing on the negative in ourselves and in others. And I think I don't think that's just the church. I think as society as a whole doesn't understand the power of gratitude. But recently, people have started to just do studies. I love science. And I love that people are doing scientific studies and research on, okay, let's gratitude. How often do you say thank you for something? How often do you give gratitude? What is your practice of gratitude? And then what kind of a life does that evoke? And here's what they found. You can look at this. How many of you know Brené Brown? She's an amazing, if you never read anything by Brené Brown or watched her podcasts or watched her TED Talks, she's amazing in her understanding of people and relationships. And so she studied thousands of people to understand their gratitude habits. How often do you say thank you? You know, do you not say thank you? And study them. And here's what she discovered. She said, number one, I used to think that the most thankful people would be the people who had the most joy. And I found that there's a correlation, yeah, that there is a connection between joy, people who are happy in life, and people who are thankful in life. But the connection was the opposite of what I expected. I expected that the people who were thankful and grateful in life would be those that experienced so much joy that they were thankful. But actually, in my research, I found the opposite. That people who lived a habit and a lifestyle of gratitude produced joy in their lives. That their joy followed gratitude. And so she just started this set up. She just started in her family. We're going to, every time we sit down to eat, we're going to start off with gratitude. And before we go, we're going to start gratitude journals. Write three things every day that you're thankful for. My wife and I, when we wake up in the morning, what are three things you're thankful for? I hate it. I'm like so grumpy. I don't want us to do that. You know, like I want to get ready for the day. You know, I got to get my quiet time with the Lord. You know? But I'm realizing that just taking time to do that, it just shifts my attitude, starts to change me. And so who are you thankful for, and how often do you express it? Paul said, I never stop. I don't cease giving thanks for you guys. And I tell you, you know, this passage of scripture brought a lot of conviction to me. I was just talking to my wife this week. I'm just like, that's a couple of you saying, man, I don't pray enough. I don't pray for the people enough. I don't give thanks enough for people. We got 260 people on our line group, and I just got to start the habit of giving thanks 260 times a day for people, you know. I got 153 in the Chinese congregation and just want to say thank you for each and every one. Just that needs to be my habit. Because it's so easy to just to think to and just complain about people. Think about your spouse and your family members and just, you know, your coworkers and just think, oh, my boss did this and that, and just meditate on complaint. And then wonder why we don't have joy. I want to encourage you this week, take on the gratitude challenge. Create a habit. Just say every day, everybody that frustrates me, I'm going to think of one reason why I'm thankful for them. And that's when you start to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because on your own, you're not going to, you don't have any reason to be thankful for some folks. But you say, God, you got to help me. But I can tell you, it's going to change your life if you learn to start being. And Paul is saying, I do this for the church. So let's start, just to start here. Who frustrates you? Who's failing you? Who's not living up to the way you think they should live? And give thanks for them. If your list is long, then you can do, you know, one in the morning, one at night, you know, break up the list. But he says, giving thanks and remembering you in my prayers. Prayer changes things. And if we became a church that remembered each other in prayer, or just even remembering to pray for the church, we would be a different church. I know for myself, some of you know, and most of you know, my mom passed away earlier this year. And she was a prayer warrior every day. Began the day with prayer. Every night she had people that she prayed with, just daily. And I know I was always high on that list. My mom would always remind me, we're praying for you every day. My friends and I, we're calling and we're praying for you every day. And I can absolutely feel the lack of those prayers in these last couple of months. And I miss it. I'm wondering, why am I struggling with so much more insecurity or lack of passion? And I just recognize a huge prayer part of my life has dropped out. And so I'm just encouraging, I'm inviting you in to pray for me. I need it. I can tell you, I need prayer. And just rebuilding those prayer walls. But I want to be that for you. And I want us to be that for each other. And I love that there's pockets of prayer that are sprouting up, because it doesn't need to be the church telling you to pray. It just needs to be you, the church, praying. Yeah. And you might say, well, but it's so weird, you know, it's a hassle. I mean, are we going to go into eternity and just say, well, you know, as it was kind of a hassle, God, to pray. And I felt a little uncomfortable asking someone to pray with me, you know, on the phone. And seriously, is that going to be the reputation of our church? Let's change the reputation of our church. And let's become a people of prayer. That prayer just becomes a normal lifestyle. When trials come up, when things come up, we go to prayer. When struggles come up, either interpersonal struggles or personal struggles, we just go to that place of prayer. That we become what Jesus said, my house is going to be called a house of prayer for all people. Start with gratitude. That's going to help you. It's going to make you a happier person. And then remember people in prayer, because we need it. We need prayer. So what did Paul pray? And what did it mean? Just breaking this down. Verse 17. Paul prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. That God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In other words, what Paul says, I want you to know God. I am praying that you know God. I am praying that you know God through the Spirit of God revealing him. Through the Spirit of God giving you wisdom in how to know God. And understanding. See, wisdom is understanding. It goes beyond just knowledge, and it goes to understanding of what that knowledge means and how to apply it. And Paul is saying, I want you to have both revelation. Revelation means it's stuff that we could never know ourselves, but it's been revealed to us. And I can tell you about God, there's so much more about him than you or I could ever figure out for ourselves. We just fall so far short. That's why we have to be more scientific. You know what science is about? Science is about the pursuit of knowledge. There's true scientists are always asking questions and saying, I think there's something here that we don't yet know. So let's go and research. That's what science does. That's why science is always about hypotheses and theories. And someday, hopefully, they become laws. But it's all about studying the things around us so that we start to have the hypotheses of, I wonder if this is the way things really work. And says, Christians, that's how we should always be. I wonder if this is the way God really works. I wonder what God might be able to do in this situation. I wonder what God thinks about me, about them, about our relationship. And then it's digging into that. And Paul is saying, what I'm praying for you is that you'll have this spirit of wisdom, not only to get knowledge, but to know, to understand the purpose of that knowledge, how to use it in your life, how to use my relationship with God in my, how does my knowledge of who God is and my relationship with God, how does that affect my life? And that spirit of revelation, you show me, God, what I could never figure out myself. And from there, he goes into the next thing. He breaks down. Here's what the knowledge of God, when you really know God, not just know about him, but when you know him, this is what it's going to produce in your life. Because as we're praying, we're saying, God, may people know you so that it produces these three things in their lives. So these are the three things that mark our lives when we know God and what we're praying for each other. And so if you need to write some of this stuff down, write it down so that you can form your prayers. So that you, as you pray, you know how to pray for people. Or you can just go right to Ephesians chapter 1. The first thing is hope. Verse 18 says, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. Paul talks about these, the eyes of our hearts, or the eyes of our understanding, so that these feelings or these things that come to us, this understanding, this revelation that comes to us, is so real to us that it's like we saw it. It becomes just plain to us. And so he says, I want the eyes of your, as you're praying, my hope is that the eyes of your understanding would open up so that you would know, number one, the hope to which he has called you. Now we think hope, that's not such a big deal. But honestly, hope is a huge deal. Biblical hope, the Bible says, is like a firm anchor that anchors you to what you cannot see. That's what an anchor does in a boat. It goes down and it hooks onto a rock and it anchors you. It's like a foundation. The Bible says our hope in Christ is the foundation of our lives. In other words, it roots you. It locks you in to what you cannot see. And then through any storm, anything that happens, that hope holds you. That hope keeps you. So when different things come into your life, you have this hope that holds you steadfast. And it says a hope in the calling that God has called us to. And so we went through the first half of this chapter, and it says that the calling of God on your life, it's a call to love, to be loved. You are loved. This is already true. This is true because it's what God has chosen. And it's what God has spoken. And when God speaks, this is the God who, when he spoke, he said, let light exist, and it existed. He said, let there be land, and land came. That's the God who's speaking over you and saying, be loved. That's the God who's speaking, who's saying, I want you to be the bride for my husband, my son, my only son. I want you to be my child. I'm adopting you. So you live with that hope. It's a hope that when you really understand the hope of God, and this is what I want to pray for each other, this is what I want to pray for you, is that your hope would be so strong, this knowledge of knowing God would be so real in your life. Like, even though my mom is gone, nobody can tell me that my mom wasn't real. Nobody can tell me that my mom didn't, you know, well, prove it. You know, she's not around anymore. She's not really real. She didn't really love you. I know it. I experienced it. I'm not just trying to believe that my mom loved me. I'm not just trying to believe that God exists. I'm not just trying to believe that he loves me. I'm not just trying, but I know it. See, that's what we're praying for each other, is that we would know it. So that when things come, you lose a job, someone gets mad at you, you lose a boyfriend or a girlfriend, someone criticizes you, it doesn't shake your hope. you walk with a different confidence because the one who loves you, that love is unshakable. Because the one who spoke it is the one who spoke the universe into existence. And so as you think through your life now and say, where are the areas in my life where I need that kind of hope? Not just a wish and a dream kind of hope, but a hope that's a firm anchor in my life that I'm going to make it. It's going to happen. God loves me. God's going to fulfill his promises in me, and his promises are good. See, this is what we need to know, and this is what we need to pray for each other and speak over each other. And just practice right now. Turn to someone and say, God loves you, and it's going to turn out good. Turn to look for someone who needs them and just tell them. Paul said, every time that you get together, you need to encourage one another. Because we need that encouragement. Because the world doesn't tell us that. Our circumstances don't tell us that. Our emotions don't tell us that. But we need it to really function in life the way God called us to function. Because we're supposed to function with faith. We're supposed to function with courage. We're supposed to function with hope in this life. And bring that into our workplace, into our classes, into our neighborhood. To bring that into other people's lives. But if we don't have it in our lives, it's hard to bring it to others' lives. And the thing that that's based on is not our ability to believe, it's our knowing. It's that spirit of revelation and wisdom. So that nothing shakes you. But we maintain that gratitude that brings us joy, because joy is what gives us strength. And we will all face circumstances where we need some strength. Hope. Value. Verse 18, second half of verse 18 says, what are the riches that you would know? The eyes of your heart would be opened up to see, to know what are the riches of his, of God's glorious inheritance in the saints. We talked about our inheritance in God, but you know what? You are God's inheritance. In other words, you're what God is looking forward to. God is saying, when all this ends, you guys, I've been so excited for my son to marry his bride. I've been so excited to have you in my home as my inheritance, my legacy, my kids. The riches of his glorious, and he calls it, you're my glorious inheritance. You know, the real value of something is not what we value it ourselves, but what other people, the value others put on it, right? And so when you have something you want to sell it, you might say, this is worth, my car is worth millions. But you put it on the market and people say, your car not worth millions. And you can live in that delusion that it's worth millions, but what it's really worth is what people are willing to pay for it. Yeah. And you know how, you know the value that God puts on you. That's your true value. And he says, you're my inheritance. I value you. And I can tell you this about God. He's going to take care of his inheritance. He's going to make sure. He says, no one's going to be able to pluck you out of my hand. I'm going to make sure of my inheritance. And when we start to value ourselves the way God does, no one's going to be able to tear you down. No one's going to be able to tear down your identity. Nobody's going to be able to offend you anymore because you know what you're worth. And when we walk with that assurance, it transforms everything else. And that's why we need to pray that for each other, because none of us yet walk with that assurance. I need more of that. So if you got enough of that, pray for me, because I need a greater knowledge of his calling and of his value for me. Lastly, power. Verse 19, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might. that you worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. There's a power that God has. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. The Bible says when we become Christians, God's Spirit comes to live inside of us. And it's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. That power is resident in you and I. And I know that that's much more of something I'm trying to get myself to believe. I need a lot more revelation of that in my life. And I suspect there's at least a few of you who might need more revelation of that in your life. To really know it, that we walk with that power, that same power that not only raised Jesus from the dead, but the Bible says it set him above all principalities and powers. Every dominion, it seated Jesus at the right hand of God. And I love that, that it was Jesus who came to be a man, lived and died as a man, and then God raised him from the dead and seated in him in heavenly places. Because you and I, as human beings, he becomes the promise for us to say, God already took a man who walked this earth and raised him to heavenly places, to seat in the throne of God, next to God. And so God's promise that he's got a mansion for you and I, a place for you and I, a room for you and I, God's already demonstrated that power. And that same power is resident in you and I. Now and through all eternity, every day of our lives. And so today, as we come to a close, we just want to actually spend some time in prayer. Because this is where it needs to begin in us as a church, to have this knowledge that God's Spirit would reveal to us, so that we don't just believe it, but we know it. That we know the call of God, that God calls us the ones he loves. He calls us his bride. He calls us his children. That we know that. We walk with it. That we are his inheritance. That he values us so much. We have so much worth to God. That we would begin to value ourselves. And thirdly, power. That we would have that power in our lives. There we go. Yeah. So what we're going to do is just take some time as a church to pray. We're going to pray for each other that we would have hope. We would know God and the hope of his calling. The value of us as his inheritance and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what we're just going to do is just pair up. Everybody, let's all stand. And just get in, pair up with someone, groups of two or three, and just pray for each other. Pray for us to know the hope of our calling. That we would truly, God would reveal to us how valuable we are to God as his inheritance. And the power of the Holy Spirit that's resident inside of us. So it's gonna take some time. You might feel like uncomfortable in this, but we're the church. We're gonna tell God, I didn't do so much. I didn't know really all you had for me, because I felt uncomfortable praying. We just need to get comfortable praying, because this is what we do. So groups of two or three, if you're not a Christian or never prayed before and you feel a little uncomfortable, we can get a professional to pray with you. We'll have some prayer ministers who come forward and you can just come and get them to pray for you if you feel more comfortable with that. But I want to encourage you, let's just join up with someone. Get in groups of two or three. And just pray for each other. It's good. God's house is a house of prayer. How many was good? How many of you appreciated that time getting prayed for and praying for each other? It's good, amen. We're just going to keep doing that more and more often in the church. And that's our prayer, is that we would be this house of prayer. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, Paul ends by saying, "And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Our prayer for you today is that you would walk in the kind of confidence and authority that comes from knowing that the God of the universe has called you by name. That he's picked you out to be his own for all of eternity. That you're his inheritance. He loves you, values you so much. You are truly special to him. Not because of what you've done, not because of what you will do, but because he loves you. And that you walk in the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. That will have a real knowledge that that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, and not only raised him from the dead, but placed him above all principalities and powers, every authority that is, placed him over all of them. And that same Spirit lives inside of you and I. So there's nothing that we face that God doesn't have the power to overcome. So we're never afraid to face a giant. That in every tragedy, we're the ones who run to the crisis, who run to the battle, because that's who our God is, and we know him. Well, our prayer for you is that this week you would experience that you would have an encounter with the Holy Spirit to just deepen your knowledge of the hope you have in God's calling on your life, the value that he values with, and the power that's resident in you through the Holy Spirit, and have an opportunity to share that with others and to impact others' lives, that God's love could flow through you to others. Thanks again for joining us today. We'll see you next Sunday.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.